You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to StetsonBaptistChurch.org.
Before we start, I need to get two things off the table and off my chest. First thing is, yes, I know one of the fish is missing its eye. Okay, you don't have to tell me anymore. Everybody comes and tells me one of the fish is missing its eye. Yes, I'm aware. No, I'm not going to change it. This is our last week in the series anyway, so you don't have to worry about it. Second thing. Listen, I need y'all to know I love being here with you guys. I love teaching you guys, and I love diving into the Word and learning throughout the week as God continues to prepare us for what He's going to do in this ministry. That being said, God's Word is inerrant, infallible, meaning it's not wrong, but Nate sometimes is, and I have to be honest, I was wrong last week. Luke and Silas are completely different people. I just need y'all to know that. I've been told too many times this week by some of our staff. I've been made fun of for it, and rightfully so. But I need you to know I'm okay being wrong. And that is definitely a moment I was wrong. And I need you to know that so you don't grow up thinking that and then you get as embarrassed as I was this week about it. So Luke and Silas, completely different people. No, I don't know where I learned it. No, I will not do it in the future. There you go. Thank you so much. Can you all say, you accept my apology? Thank you. Hey, if you were going to take notes tonight, we would love for you to do it on pen and paper. And so we have some notepads. So all you got to do is raise your hand and we will bring you a notepad and a pen. So go ahead and grab those if you would like them. Hey, if this is your first time here, I'm so glad you're here. I'm Nate. I'm over our student ministry here. You are jumping in on the end last week in one of our series that we've been walking through called Against the Grain. And really, it's okay if this is your first week. I'm going to kind of give you a summary of where we have been and how we're going, where we are going. Really, we've been talking about this idea of what does it mean to go against the grain. And we talked about that first week of going against the grain is really just another way of saying that we should be influencing ourselves and others to Jesus and the better life that He offers, to introducing others to Jesus and with that, the better life that He offers with it. And then we asked, okay, well, why should we do that? Why are we called to, introduce ourselves and others to Jesus and the better life He offers? And it was because God is faithful to us, so we should be faithful to Him. And then it was, okay, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? And we realized that circumstances and just because we should do something doesn't mean it's easy. And so we talked about how even in the worst of circumstances, even in the worst of times, we should choose the Jesus way. We should choose the Jesus way. And that's where we are today. So we've kind of taken this big story of what does it mean to go against the grain? Why should we do it? What does it look like in our life? It means, obviously, again, to go against the grain is influence others and ourselves to Jesus and the better life He offers because He has been faithful. And that means in the worst of times, no matter how hard times get, we should choose the Jesus way. That's kind of the summary statement of what we've talked about for the past 3 weeks. That being said, sometimes I find myself asking the question, how do I know what the Jesus way is? That's awesome. It's good to know the Jesus way. We should be following the Jesus way no matter the circumstance of our life. But sometimes we get in times where the question is, how do I know what the Jesus way is? And another way of saying that is, how do I respond as a Christian to blank? And sometimes I find myself in there. I don't know about you. Like sometimes I'm asking the question, something comes up, maybe it's in the news or it's in the community or it's in my own life, it's in my family, it's in my friend group. And I go, how as a Christian should I respond to blank, right? Is anybody else, I don't know, am I alone in that? Like I feel like maybe that's a Christian thing to do, to wonder what it looks like to choose the Jesus way in certain situations. Because I don't know about you, like, have you ever, you know that some churches disagree on things? I don't know about you, like, sometimes I go to one Christian and they think one way about something, and then I can go to another Christian and they think a completely different way about something. There's so many different opinions on what it is to choose the Jesus way in every single option. And there's so many different times and places and circumstances where it matters. If I'm called to choose the Jesus way in every single circumstance, no matter good, no matter bad, I want to know, well, what is the Jesus way? I wish it was laid out for me. Good for you and good for me, because God knew that we had this question and he answers this question. He answers it in Romans 15. So if you have your Bible, man, flip open to Romans 15. If you don't have your Bible, we have a blue one for you on your chair. Feel free to use it. If you don't own a Bible, also feel free to take that one home. That can be our gift to you. But if you will, open up to Romans 15. Romans 15. As you flip there, I want to tell you a little bit about Romans, because we're jumping into a very late portion in Romans. Romans is a letter written by who else other than Paul, right? Paul, we've talked about Paul. Paul is a tremendous missionary for the gospel. He got his life radically turned around and when he was introduced to Jesus, and Jesus met him and said, "You are going to share me and my good news with those around you." And so he did that exact thing. And so he comes to a church in Rome. And that's this book. This is a letter to the church in Rome. And Paul is actually writing to the church in Rome because they're a very divided church. They're very divided because the church, at the end of the day, had different opinions on what it meant to choose the Jesus way and different opinions on what the Jesus way was. I don't know about you. Sounds a little familiar, right? They're also in a time where they're asking the question, what does it mean to choose the Jesus way in blank? In this circumstance, in this moment, in this decision, what does it look like to choose the Jesus way? And we actually pick up in the back end of a specific divisive topic that they were going through. I'm not going to talk about what the topic is. If you would like to go read it, go read Romans 14. For today, really doesn't matter. It matters what Paul says about how to respond to the topic. We're picking up in verse 1. Paul says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves." We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. You may have heard of a statement that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So anybody ever heard that? A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. If you don't know this, a chain is just like, can everybody raise your hand if you can envision a chain? Okay, cool. Great. So you know how a chain is a bunch of, if you maybe you didn't know this, but it's a bunch of links. Those are the little things that are connecting to each other, right? So chain looks like this. These are the links. You probably made one when you were in like kindergarten out of paper, right? Chain. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Meaning, guess if I pulled on a chain, guess where it's going to break? Its weakest link, right? So a chain only is as good as its weakest link. Paul here is looking at us as Christians and saying, we have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. We are only as strong as our weakest link. So therefore, we are called, we are actually required to help and care for and look towards the benefit of our weakest link. Now, here's what I love about Paul, because I kind of resonate with Paul. Paul likes to do a lot of reverse explaining. When I say that, what I mean is he will tell you, here's what you should do, and then he will unpack that to its deepest core of why you should do it. He sometimes does it the right way of like why you should do something and then what that leads to. But many times he explains that you should do something a certain way, and then he unpacks why you should do that. And he does that exact here. So that's the big topic that he's talking about. He is, finishing that divisive topic. And the thing of what he's saying in the divisive topic is you who are strong are called to bear with the failings of the weak, AKA a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? we have an obligation to help those who need help. But then he starts to unpack that. Verse 2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. So when he's talking about this neighbor is obviously the weak. He's saying, hey, you are called to please your neighbor for his good, for your good, for their good. Not for yourself, but for the weakest link. The person who needs help, you're called to help them because they need help. And not for your good, but for their good. In other words, he's saying, you need to care for people. You need to care for them. Their heart, how they're doing, what they're doing, and how they're feeling should be something that you care about. And if you care about it, if you care about something, you will act upon it. Let me just step out of this. You know, this is not Bible talking. This is Nate talking. You want to know how you truly care about somebody or something? You do something about it. If you care about something, you're going to do something about it. If you care about somebody, you're going to do something about it. This is mostly true. Has somebody ever hurt your friend? Yeah? Anybody? Okay, yeah. Didn't you instantly get really, really mad at that person? Like you felt hurt with your friends? Why? Because you care about your friends. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a brother, but maybe it's a sibling, whatever it is. When you care about something or somebody, you will act upon it. And so that's what he's saying right here. Like you should care for the people. And because you care for the people, again, reverse explaining, because you care for somebody, you will what? You'll act on it. So then you will bear with the failings of, right? So we just took one totem down, right? In the reverse explaining, if there's tiers, we went from tier one to tier two. Tier one is you got to care for one another. The tier one is you got to bear with the failings of the weak. Why? Because you care for them and we should be caring people. Verse three, as we continue down to tier three, if you will. He says, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who approached you fell on me. For Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. All right. I know you're like, hey, Nate, I get it, but I'm going to explain it again. Tier one, you need to bear with the failings of the weak. Tier two, why should you do that? Because you should care for people. Tier three, why should I care about people is kind of the question that now he's asking. Because Jesus did. Why? Hey, you're telling me I should care about people, and if I care about people, I'm going to act upon it. Why should I care about people, Paul? Because Jesus cares about people. I love this statement. It says, it is written, the reproaches of those who approached you fell on me. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to explain it because I know every one of you know what it means to be reproached, right? Absolutely not. A reproach in this sense is a burden or a pain. To be burdened with something. To be weighted down with something. Or in other words, to be pained with something. To be hurt. So what is it saying? It's saying the burden, the pain, the hurt that others put on you as the reproached one. So the burden, pain, or hurt that others put on you is taken on by Jesus. Paul says, hey, why should you care about people? Because Jesus cares about people, aka he cares about you. Because in our minds, if we are the strong and we're bearing with the weak, guess what? In Jesus's mind, we are the weak. Because he's perfect and we're not. We mess up all the time. We are the ones that need to be bared with by Jesus. And Paul's saying, and he did that for you. All right, here we go. Ready? Tier one. Hey, you need to bear with those who are weak. You need to bear with the failings of the weak. When we need to help people out. Why? Because we should care about people. And when we care about somebody, we will help them. Why should I care about somebody? Because Jesus cares about somebody and he cares about you. And the thing that we are called to do, we're doing it because Jesus did it for us. Now we get to tier four. And this is where it gets really fun. Verse four. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through Scripture, that through endurance and that through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. AKA, tier four, Paul, right here, looking at the readers and saying, hey guys, I've just told you what is the Jesus way. Jesus way is to care, is to tell people out. Jesus way is to help people out because you care for them. The Jesus way is to care for them because caring people will take action, and Jesus cares for you, and we're called to be like Jesus. And then he goes, but hey, just know this. You don't need me to tell you that. Because if you want to know the Jesus way, read your Bible. Read your Bible. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, hey, everything, by the way, listen, I just told you what the Jesus way was, but know that everything written prior was written for your instruction, was written that you would be encouraged, that you would see what Scripture tells you to do, and then you would do it. AKA Paul saying, hey, you can rely on me to tell you the Jesus way, but if you have to come to me about everything Jesus way oriented or specific, that's a problem, because the Jesus way has already been revealed to you through Scripture, AKA read your Bible. Here we go. I don't know. You might be like, Nate, you've lost me. You've said a lot of things. Here's what I need you to know. Here's what I need you to take home. If you take anything home, you get in the car, mom, dad, brother, sister, you get in your own car, whatever. If they go, what did you learn at church? You learned this. The Bible is the guide to the Jesus way. The Bible is the guide to the Jesus way. The Bible is not a guide to the Jesus way. Hey, there's a lot going on in this second row. Can we get right here? Cool. Okay. Y'all good? Let me get a thumbs up before I continue. Y'all good? All right, cool. The Bible is not a guide for the Jesus way. The Bible is the guide to the Jesus way. It's the way that Jesus decided and God decided to choose to be known. It's how he wanted us to learn about him. It's how he wanted us to know what it looks like to follow him. Think about this one. Anybody got hobbies in here? You got hobbies? Yeah, everybody's got hobbies. Anything but school, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, no, I love school. You're going to be lawyers and doctors and awesome people, man. Or something. I don't know. Whatever. Man, I've picked up a new hobby. And if you ask my wife about it, she probably hates it. And she's told me that too. It's called golf. Now, let me tell you something. Golf might be my hobby, but I golf does not think that I play golf. I swing a club in golf size. I'm telling you, it's rough, man. But here's the thing. So golf is a lot of fun for me. It's really good. We actually get to go out as a family and do that, and that's a lot of fun. But here's the thing. I don't know if you've ever played golf, you know this. Golf is a very technical sport, meaning you could be as athletic as you want to be, but you will look so unathletic swinging a golf club because you got to learn how to do it right. And if you don't do it right, don't matter. You can swing as hard as you want. That thing's going 20 feet, okay? Because you're not doing it right. You got to learn how to swing a golf club right. So here's what I mean. Which I've done, can go out every single day and play a round of golf. I mean, I could play golf 24/7, 365 for a whole year. But if I never get trained how to swing a golf club right, I'll never go anywhere with it. I'll be just as bad a year later. I might be a little better. I might be able to hit a ball from 20 feet to 30 feet. But if I don't learn how to swing a golf club, it doesn't matter. That's why they have what's called YouTube. Golf instructors. Right? Yeah. Whatever. Golf instructors, YouTube, whatever you want. Where you look at somebody who looks at you and says, here's how you do it. here's what you do. Here's how to stand. Here's what your front, your lead arm needs to look like. Here's what your following arm needs to look like. It's all in the hips. It's all in the hip, right? There's so much to go into a golf swing. But if you don't go and get trained on it and use the things that have been, that are there to prepare you on how to swing golf club, it doesn't matter. Our life is the round of golf. Every single day you wake up and you live your life, you're playing the round of golf. And there's a right way to do it. And it's the Jesus way. That's the right way to live. It's the better way to live. But if we never take time to learn how to swing the golf club, how to live the better way, we never will. Your Bible is the golf instructor. Your Bible is the YouTube video of whatever that tells you how to do it. Insert your hobby and whatever you want in that analogy, whatever it is. You can't do it unless you learn and somebody teaches you how. The Jesus way is taught through your Bible. Man, you can come here every Wednesday night and I would love for you to. But if your only interaction with the Word of God is when I open four verses, things don't change that way. The Christian life is not just a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning thing. It's a lifestyle. It's who you are. And the way that we learn what it looks like to follow the Jesus way, to do things the Jesus way, is through the Bible. Now, hear me. There's so many other tools you can use. Man, I love that you're here. And this is such a great way for you to be encouraged and to be challenged and convicted. Don't hear me wrong. It's not like you only need to read your Bible. There are things you need to do with it. Man, reading other books, whatever that looks like. Getting together with other Christians and just walking through life things and talking about struggles and talking about things that are going well, whatever that looks like. But all of that can happen without the Bible, and it fails. But with the Bible, it succeeds. It is where we learn the Jesus way. I know my point's up there, but you can almost put, if you're taking notes, you can almost put a dot, dot, dot after it, and you can use the words, so use it. The Bible is the guide to the Jesus way, so use it. Listen, I'm all about making it easy for you. That's my goal. My goal is not just to tell you to do something that's really difficult and then send you out. I want to make it as easy as possible for you. And so I've done a few things. First is we've publicized these about a year ago, but we really haven't pushed it. And I have these Foundation's New Testament Bible reading plans. Because what I've heard a lot whenever I ask somebody to read the Bible is they always go, Nate, that's awesome. Would love to do it. I don't know how. I don't know where to start. The Bible is 66 different books written into one cohesive book put together with one unified message. There's a lot that goes on. If you jump into Numbers, you're going to stop reading your Bible right away. So I want to help you learn how. So what I've done is this is a year-long Bible reading plan. It's like it's a chapter a day. And it tells you you can literally look at it and go, all right, today I'm in Luke 1, tomorrow I'm in Luke 2. Third day, Luke 3, 4, 5, and it just walks you through the New Testament. Also, it gives you 2 days off because you're busy, and sometimes you're going to miss, and that's okay. But I want to make it as easy as possible. So if you would like to grab one of these, as you're leaving, there's black tables right there on the tabletops. There are these little papers. They're like this, front and back. Just grab one. Just grab them. Put it in your Bible. Do it every day, I promise. Maybe you're like, honestly, and I understand this, maybe you're like, Nate, I've never read the Bible. Starting with a chapter is a lot. Can I give you another way of doing this? Just read bold to bold. If you don't know what I'm talking about, sometimes in your Bible, it has headings and sections. Just read bold to bold. Start where you are, and then you'll learn how to get better at it, I promise. Please hear me. Don't build an excuse to not do it. Find a way around. If you need anything, man, come to me. I would love to help you figure out what does it look like to read your Bible. Second thing, Sometimes questions come and are surrounded about the Bible. And one of those is, man, all I ever do is hear about the Bible in church. How do I know it's trustworthy? How do I know what it's telling me to do is true? I'm so glad you asked that question, because that's actually our next series. We're going to walk through, can I trust the Bible? Man, I would love for you to be here next week as we jump into this topic, because we believe the Bible is so vital to your faith. And in order for us to think it's vital to our faith, we must believe that it's trustworthy, and it is. And so I want to talk about that as a group. So man, I would love for you to be here. Man, if there's anything else I can help you out with in order for you to see that Bible reading is good, then I would love to. I'll do everything I can for you to see that we need to be people to read our Bible. The Jesus way is the better way. And if you want to live that, it's right here. It's right here, man. Can you imagine what would it look like if we put all of our excuses away? If we stopped coming up with excuse after excuse, I'm too busy, or I'm too tired, or I don't want to do that, or I don't, it's confusing and it's just going to confuse me more. Man, our lives would be so different. Our community, our schools, our families would be so different. And I'm telling you, just give it a shot. Your life will change for the better. We want to follow the Jesus way because it's the better way. The Bible is our guide to the Jesus way. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.